Father in heaven, we thank you for a day that we can come to set aside all our cares and concerns. Lord, to look into your word. Lord, that your word may speak to each and every one of us. This morning, Lord, I ask that you would use me as a tool in the master's hand. Lord, that you'd give me the words upon my lips and the thoughts upon my hearts to speak your truth. Lord, to edify, to encourage, even to correct, Lord. Starting with me. And to all that those that would hear. Lord, in this day that you've helped us, Lord, that you would give us the eyes to see you clearly and ears to hear you clearly. And that all that we would say, Lord, would be to your honor, to your glory. Father in heaven, I'm thankful for everyone that's here today. We just pray for those that couldn't be here. Pray that you would meet them where they're at, whether they're ill, Lord, whether they're the concerns of life that's weighing them down, aged. Only you know. Lord, we pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I start this morning's sermon, I want to kind of preface how the Lord has laid this on my heart, this portion of Scripture. We're going to read a few portions of Scriptures, and Brother Mike in Bible class actually expounded a little bit upon one of the portions of Scripture that we'll talk a little bit. The portion of Scripture that we're going to be reading and supporting this morning's message with the help of the Lord is going to be found in Matthew chapter 7. And to preference how this came about, I was at work, and I believe it was a Wednesday morning, Tuesday or Wednesday morning, don't know exactly, I can't remember right now, but I walked out of my office, and to the left we have a round table, and there's a picnic area where customers can wait while their vehicle is being serviced. And sitting at the table was this biker dude. Burly, big beard, leather jacket. On the back it said, Black Sheep, California chapter. I've shared this with a few of the brothers a few weeks ago. I have to admit that when I saw this guy from a distance, you know, what's the first thing that would come to your mind? This guy's a bad dude. This guy's no good. This guy is... There's no way this guy's going to heaven. And as I started talking with him, I'm kind of an extrovert, so I can pretty much talk to anybody. Walked up to him and started to talk to him and get to know him a little bit better. And come to find out that he belongs to this gang of guys that like to ride motorcycles, and what they do is they travel from state to state, from city to city, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Boy, did I judge this guy wrong. So my question to you is, when was the last time you judged somebody and were wrong in your judgment? And then, on top of that, through my devotions, Matthew chapter 7 is brought to me. So with the help of the Lord, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and render you. You know, if we look at this portion of Scripture that is before us, and just kind of to get the background of this Christ teaching, we go back to chapter 5. And if you go back to chapter 5 and you look at the verse 3, now Christ is, this is his Sermon on the Mount. He's called the disciples, but a whole bunch of people were gathering around, And he then turns to the disciples and he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is how he starts off his sermon. And then he goes on and he talks about them being the salt and the light. He talks about anger. He talks about adultery and divorce as he's teaching them. He talks about giving the oath and his neighbors, loving your neighbors, and then giving in alms. And then all of a sudden he drops his bombshell and says, "Hey, judge not lest ye be judged." You see, what Christ was talking to is he was talking about when he was bringing this to light, he was bringing to light the fact that the Pharisees were ones that were constantly judging. What does it mean to judge? To judge means that you have the final say. You have the final word. And typically, when we judge somebody in a negative light. We typically judge somebody and say, "You know what? You're not going to heaven. You're not going to heaven. And you know what? That's my final say." And we make that comment based off of a very limited information that we have. And pretty much we make that comment based off of what we see. And he's exposing the Pharisees because they were looking at other people that were not holding the law. And because they were not holding the law to the T, they made that judgment call. "You're not going to heaven. You're not righteous. You're not going to be saved." The truth is that they were not poor in spirit, but they were full of pride. And that's where judging comes in. Judging comes in when we elevate ourselves because we think we're going to go to heaven, but that person, based off of the way they look or what they do, they're not going to go to heaven. And Christ says, "That is not your position. That is not your place. Do not make that statement. Do not judge." But there's a flip side, and we're going to talk about that, about discerning. We can discern and make judgment calls without condemning someone. Luke 18, 9 through 14. It reads like this. "Also he spoke to the parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others, or viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." You see, this is the exact thing that Christ said when he turned to the disciples in Matthew 5 and said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Where's our humility? Have we elevated ourselves full of pride that we find ourselves better than somebody else? You see, and if we look at this portion of scripture that Christ, when he tells them, "Judge not, lest ye be judged," there's actually three aspects to it. One is the judging aspect. Webster defines judge as a form of opinion or conclusion. One that's something that is decided in a court, in a case in court, or to give a verdict on someone, which I think that's kind of more of what we tend to do when we judge someone. The verdict, the last words: "You're not going to heaven." We form opinions based on the information that we have in that seat. And most of us, Most of the times, we don't have all the facts. And the motive is because we're better than they are. We see something that perhaps we're not doing, and because we're not doing that, we make ourselves better than that. Therefore, we make that judgment call that they're not going to go to heaven. I'd like to reread the portion of Scripture. Those of you who are in Bible class, Brother Mike brought out, and I want to read and talk a little bit about another event that has taken place. John 8:1-11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him and sat down and taught them. Then the scribe and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her mind, when they set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the adultery in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" And they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first, or cast the first stone. And the oldest, even to the last." And they left, and Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She says, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." If we look at the situation of how Jesus handled it, he handled it with love. He didn't say what she did was right or wrong. He didn't throw it in her face. He didn't make the accusation that she of what she did was wrong. But he simply said unto her, "Go and sin no more." You see, the Pharisees, they wanted to stone her. They wanted to kill her for her actions. And by the law, they had every right to do so. They had every right to do so. And they made the final judgment call. She needs to be stoned. She didn't follow the law. She's not righteous before God. She deserves what's coming to her. Do we have that same attitude sometimes? See, 1 Samuel 16 says, "For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." There's another portion of Scripture that I'd like to read. But the second part is when it talks about, when we talk about judgment, now it also talks about with the measure you use, it'll be measured right back at you. So when you're judging somebody, with that same measure you're judging somebody, it's going to come back and you're going to be judged for that. There's a portion of Scripture in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 11, and it goes into chapter 12. See, there was a king that saw a beautiful lady, and he wanted to have her as a wife. She was already married. And there was a war going on. So he goes to his chief commander and says, "Hey, take this man with you, put him out in the front, forefront, knowing full well that he will die, just so that he can have her as his wife." We know that story, and that was King David. And so it happened, and afterwards they did have a son. Chapter 12 says, "And the Lord said to Nathan unto David," and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, "and he came to him and he said, 'There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. And he did eat his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was to him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress it for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's land and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against that man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that doeth these things shall surely die. And as he restored the lamb, and shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said unto David, "Thou art that man." Isn't this a good example of what you want somebody, you know, you're going to judge somebody, you're going to say, "Well, this person deserves this. This is the measure that you're going to make the condemnation with." And guess what? It's going to turn around and come right back at you. This has to do with removing the plank that is in your own eye so that you can clearly see and remove the plank or the speck that's in somebody else's eye. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me that every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And again, this comes with pride and humility. In Romans 2:1, it says, "Therefore art thou inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But afterward thy hardness and impotent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath." I don't know about you, but this portion of Scripture to me says, you know what, leave the judging to God. God's the one that's going to do the judging. Don't judge. And I tell you this because these are portion of Scriptures that spoke to me. So does that mean that we go around and we don't judge, we don't make any judgment calls? Is there a difference between a judgment call and judging somebody? And the answer is yes. There's a difference between putting somebody down and lifting them up. You know, we judge someone wrongly when we criticize them out of jealousy, bitterness, self-ambition, rather than seeking to build them up in Christ. We judge somebody wrongly when we assume that we know all of the pertinent facts and the motives behind the person's actions. We judge somebody wrongly when we set up human standards rather than holding to God's word as the standard. And we judge someone wrongly when we do not first judge our own sin before trying to help them with his sin or their sin. And when we judge, it means that we act in place of God. But that does not mean that as believers in Christ, we have to stop discerning and making right judgment calls. Discernment and judgment are closely related. Discernment, however, is more of a personal and conscious approach. It's to distinguish what is appropriate and inappropriate. With discernment, we make good choices for ourselves and for the good of others. Webster's Dictionary says that to discern is to separate mentally from another or others, recognize as separate or different, and to perceive or recognize, make out clearly. Keen perception. You see, we can discern and we can make right judgment calls without judging somebody. We can leave that judgment to somebody else. We can leave that the judge to God and let God be the judge. We do need to discern. As Christians and believers in Christ, we need to. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21-22 says, "But test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." We need to prove what is right and what is wrong. But we don't make the final call. We don't make that final say as far as whether someone's going to heaven or hell. Ephesians 5, 10-11 says, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So if we discern that the person is not a good person or is an evil person, then we have that responsibility to remove ourselves from them. We have a responsibility to distance ourselves from them. John 4 teaches us, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, where if ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." We are to use good judgment to discern between evil, good and evil, between right and wrong. Christ could have judged us all according to our sinful actions. Instead, he had compassion upon us, which resulted in mercy, grace, and undeserving forgiveness. See, when we judge somebody, we don't think about that. We don't think about compassion. We don't think about grace. All we know at that time that we make the call is that we're better than they are and that they're not going to heaven. So before I judge somebody, I need to look at myself first. Look at the sin in my life. Look at the plank that's in my own eye. And once I remove it, then I can clearly see what's going on in somebody else's life. But when I think about that statement, I'm going to be pulling plank after plank after plank out of my own eye. Again, this sermon was not because of somebody judging me, but because I judged somebody else. And Scripture and the Lord spoke to me in saying, that's not how you do it. God showed mercy to me, and we need to show mercy to others. So the next time you see someone, take a moment before you draw a conclusion of that person. First, look at yourself. How many times can we say that there's, you know, you look at, if we take two people and you know nothing about them, one guy that's burly, another guy that's clean and shaven and looking really good, course, you're going to kind of gravitate to this guy because, you know, your first impression is this guy's not a bad guy, without knowing all the facts. So as we go out and as we meet other people, talk to them first before you make any kind of judgment calls. May God bless his word.